Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
I am unashamed. What about you?
So welcome, Corey. Your first time
The
Unashamed Lair. We did find out we had just have a rat infestation.
Oh, so great.
These are mice. They're not rats.
Oh, is that right?
I can tell by the
droppings.
The size of the droppings.
So if something runs across your foot.
The difference is just size, though, right?
The size.
Yeah, so I mean.
But there's, you have hundreds of droppings to analyze, and I noticed that they're all quite small.
Normally, you don't have an infestation if you don't have any products, food sources, but not in this case because there's no food sources for them to eat.
I think it's
that
because.
You know of.
Well, that we know of.
That I don't know of.
It's biscuit droppings. You are dropping biscuits. When you eat the Chick-fil-A biscuit, you're not cleaning up after yourself.
Oh, the crumbs. So you're right.
They're coming for the crumbs.
You're exactly right. Good call, Zach.
I didn't even know Zach was here. I thought that was the voice of the Lord intervening in the truth.
Far from it.
The voice of the Lord.
You have the Spirit, Zach. You have the Spirit.
I do have the Spirit in me. That is true.
The mystery of godliness is that Christ is in you.
That's right.
Okay.
So, Corey, we've had Willie on a few times. We had John Luke on as well with Willie a while back. We had your mom on.
Nice.
With Shelley Tomlinson. I'm not sure. I don't know if that one's aired or not yet. But so it's great to finally have the true matriarch of the Willie wing on the Unashamed podcast.
Thank you. It took y'all long and how many episodes before I get invited?
700.
Yeah, that's all.
This is 701, right?
This is 701, which I
better late than never.
That's right.
So Missy was on 700, and I had in my notes, and I forgot to mention that we are now the Western Robertson 700 Club because we have hit 700 podcasts. That's
right. Nice.
Wasn't there a show called the 700 Club?
Yes. It was the other Robertsons.
Oh.
That's the West Robertsons. That was
there, the East. That was the whole setup.
I did not get that.
I'm glad you're jumping right in there.
Well, most people probably had no idea what you were talking about. So
no, I think most people know. So actually, I'm friends with the other Lisa Robertson.
Oh, tell us about that.
Yes, Pat Robertson's daughter-in-law is also Lisa Robertson, and we're good friends. And I've actually texted her in family group text a few times accidentally and invited her to Christmas whatever. And she's like, this is the other Lisa Robertson.
Are we kin to these people?
Probably back down the line, but
back to Scotland.
Back to Scotland. So they're in Virginia Beach, so they got off right when the boat landed and just stayed there.
Yeah.
Ours were probably sent away.
Yeah, we got kicked out.
Keep going.
Moving, yeah.
I know we wound up in Nashville at some point. Because, Dad, I think his great-grandparents were migrated over from Nashville to North Louisiana.
That's why I don't go any deeper than Matt Dillon.
Wait. Yeah. Matt Dillon, like the actor Matt Dillon?
No, I think he's talking about the
Western. We've had
the
same conversation before.
Western.
Yeah, nobody younger than 60 even knows who Matt Dillon from Guns N' Roses is.
So you know how a while ago I didn't get the 700 Club? Well, you don't get Matt Dillon. Wasn't there like a guy named Festus on there or something?
Yeah, Festus Hagen.
So Dad's always talking about Matt Dillon. So Alex and Maddie are here working on the show, and they kept thinking, what is Phil's infatuation with this actor, Matt Dillon? Because there's an actor named Matt Dillon, real person. Yeah. And they couldn't figure it out. They kept looking up movies. They thought, what is he? What, he's
it shows you the what happens to the sinful.
Oh, when you get away from Gunsmoke, that's where
it's
you
called,
the
it's
ball.
Called Boot Hill.
Okay, I got to tell this. So Phil comes over to our house the other day, and it's early, and we're not there. And Mary Kate tells me that she helped you find Gunsmoke on our TV, right?
Yeah.
She texted me. She was like, I had to download some app that you don't, I don't even have, that is just like Gunsmoke all day,
old
every
Westerns
day.
For he was old people.
Back. They had him.
And
wheel.
She found it.
And she found it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
But there is a connection with Matt Dillon to Jason Bourne. So that there is a, he was the guy. Didn't he play Jason Bourne?
No. That's Matt Damon.
That's Matt Damon.
Oh, no.
Zach,
oh
my gosh. Stick with words that nobody knows, because your category is not movies and entertainment. Look,
I don't get caught up in the whole
Matt
thing.
Matt Dillon played.
You could not be
more.
Any further away from the truth.
Who is Matt? Matt Dillon played, yeah, he
Matt
played
Dillon was
in
The
bunch
Outsiders.
Of in the
he was in The Outsiders.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Several 90s. Movies.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's right.
2000s guy. Oh my gosh, we're off and running here. So we were at our event we were doing Saturday night. Dad was, the guy asked Dad a question. He said, would you rather kiss Miss K or call in a bunch of ducks? Which would be your first choice?
That's a good one.
Yeah, it was a
dangerous
good one.
Dangerous question.
Dangerous question. And Dad paused a second and he said, you know, it's like old Matt Dillon. And he just paused.
And none of these people have a TV.
No, they're Amish, a bunch of them are Amish, and it was just crickets. And Dad waited a minute, and he said, what was the question?
Good deflection. I didn't feel like that was kind of smart.
And then when he asked the question again, Dad said, oh, those are both equal.
Okay.
Which
nice.
I thought was a pretty
good answer. Yeah.
Here's what you should have said. You should have said, I love to give Miss K a kiss after I've shot a limit of ducks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what he said, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, what did Matt Dillon have to do with all that?
Nothing. I mean, I don't know where Dad was going, but once the audience, it was just like you had just said, you know, I don't know what you would have said to create complete silence out of 1,500 people, but nobody reacted to that day. Yeah. It was just nothing. And I was looking over Dad.
Everyone's brains were like, how does this relate? Yeah.
A handful of people that watch TV in the audience were thinking the actor Matt Dillon.
Well, that's my opening line, because when I went to the same event before they did a couple of years ago, but I took tons of pictures before I got up. And so I'm thinking, because he said, the guy that invited me was like, these people don't have a TV and we're kind of primitive here. So I just thought, you know what? I'm going for it. I got up there and I said, I took a lot of pictures with some of you, and what that tells me is that if y'all say y'all don't have a TV, you're lying.
Wow, that's a good
that
way
was
to
a
welcome everybody into the moment.
There was a hesitation, and then everybody laughed, which they also said they're not going to respond. So I said, I don't know if y'all watching it in the closet or if y'all going to a hotel. And so then after I was finished, the guy said, what they do is they would rent hotel rooms and all gather up and watch y'all show.
Oh, okay. So they don't have a TV, but they can watch a TV.
I think
that was one of the finest groups of people I've ever talked to. I have no doubt that they were not members of the kingdom of God.
Well, you had a lot in common with them, Phil. You don't have cell phone.
Yep.
You're pretty. You don't go to town.
Don't wear a watch.
Keep it simple.
When the guy that was hosting us told us, I told Jace this on the podcast, that a lot of people from when Jace was there came to him and said, can you show, because they don't have a computer, but can you show us on the computer what the duck guy said about us on this podcast?
Oh, cool.
And it wound up leading a lot of people to Christ.
That's awesome.
So it was really a neat thing.
Okay, where was this? Because I feel like Willie and I have been there too.
It was in Ohio.
Mount Hope, Ohio.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a heart of Amish country.
Okay, we did one in Lancaster.
Lancaster, I've been there too.
Yeah. Yes, we've done that there, and it was awesome, great people.
My favorite memory was driving in, and there were kids mowing the grass with hand sickles.
Wow.
And there was a bunch of them out there. They were just whacking the grass. I thought, boy, that's
nice.
Just something you don't see.
It's just like your house.
You don't see it every day.
Just like at Zach's house. He would need hand sickles because, Zach, it looked like every lawnmower at your house was in disrepair the last time I was there.
Okay,
they were all just
time,
parked in different places.
Half
like,
the time I talk to Zach on the phone, you're like giving instruction. I'm not saying yelling, but it's is close to your kids about like what to do. Like, no, park my truck over there. Move that. Mow that. Take out that trash.
That's exactly right.
That's half the conversation.
You know
why
that? It's because the old days kids were assets, and now they've turned into liabilities. And I'm trying to buck that. I'm trying to turn them back into an asset.
You're doing a good job.
That's what that is.
So you make a good point, Corey, because people have different kind of phone etiquette. Mm-hmm. So when you talk to mom, she's talking to other people while she's relaying everything you're telling her to dad, to whoever else is in the room.
Yes.
You know what Al said?
Changing it slightly.
Yeah, with a little switch, right? She's interpreting everything to somebody else. That's her style. And then Zach's, you're right. It's always dealing with something else going on while you're having the conversation. You see some menacing child or, oh, don't go there.
Yes.
You
know, so. Bring me back my change. That's it, too.
Classic Zach.
Well, I didn't know you were paying attention. Now that makes me nervous, guys.
You have to start. Zach's got to find that mute button for when he's dealing with kids.
I've been a Robertson long enough to know you save up these things, and then when you get a microphone, you tell the world about them. Like, don't say
that's exactly
you
what happens. Yeah.
That's why Missy doesn't listen to the podcast.
She's like, can't take it.
She's like, I tried it, I just couldn't take it.
Because she can't deal with the embellishments. Like, it's when we venture off, we are. Yeah.
Well, she calls the embellishments outright lying. And I'm like, no. But I'm incapable of remembering the exact details of said story. So I give a clarification that this was based on a true story.
Because to a Robertson, it's more important that the story is either interesting or funny than accurate.
Well, I don't. I'm trying to be accurate. I just don't remember the exact details. And for that part, I'll wear a shirt once a week to this podcast.
I could be wrong.
I could be wrong.
That's good.
And my dad said I should put on the back, but I doubt it. Which is funny,
clever.
I like it.
Actually, ended up the name of my
it's the working title of the book.
I'm not sure that's been approved, Phil.
It's a working title.
I find it hard to believe you're going to name
the book. I
want to
hear
that.
That's what they want to call
name
it.
They're going to name it.
They want to name it. I could be wrong.
I like that.
But I doubt it.
But I doubt
about Jesus, but I doubt.
Zach's dad.
Because it's about Jesus.
I like it,
Zach's dad put it together.
Well, we were calling it, we've been calling it for several months while we were writing it, The Jesus Resume, which is a good title, and it certainly is a Jesus resume, but there's been a ton of stuff.
We got that in there.
That.
Yeah.
We got his resume put in.
The resume is in there. That's right.
So since I came up with your title, the percentage.
Oh, he's rubbing.
Look, we'll just take
fingers together.
Whatever percentage that is, take that off whatever you think I might owe you.
Okay, I'm throwing in here. I actually like that title. I do. I don't know about giving.
Corey knows a lot about publishing,
but I like that title. I was thinking about what that scripture where Paul is like saying, like, if we're wrong about this, then what does it really matter? But he's like, but I'm not wrong.
That's exactly
the resurrection.
That's a good verse.
Yeah, the dead aren't raised.
We didn't say we had it all. We had it all. We could be wrong.
Yeah,
but
if we are,
that's on the front of your shirt. The back of your shirt said. I doubt it.
Yeah, but you have to. We have to give that caveat because we're doing this 4 hours a week. So we do. I'm sure you put out 700 episodes. I did the math the other day. It's like 350 hours of content. Wow. So I'm sure there are. Jace has made a few errors along the way, and all of us have in the 350 hours. So
no, you can just say me. Yeah, it's like the guy who said. He said he's watching the episode. And he's like, What happened? You look like you zoned out. And I was like, I was taking a nap. I can sleep with my eyes. I just admitted it. I was tired. I mean, we do this so much. I took a 5-minute nap.
And he learned this skill in the school of preaching.
I did.
One particular professor's class in the afternoon, Jace would be completely asleep. Every once in a while, you could hear him softly breathing, snoring, and with his eyes wide open.
Yeah, my son Reed actually tried to get me to teach him that skill, but it just, you got to have the right, you got to have a laid back personality, you know, and Reed.
I do not have that skill.
Because your eyes are open, but you get the feeling that when you're sleepy, and if you just train yourself for hours, you can go to sleep.
Do it. Okay, I will say the one thing I appreciated about the mask is because when I was on a plane, if you have a mask and you go to sleep, and your mouth's open, like no one can see it.
Yeah,
like,
take a picture of it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Willie would take pictures of me sleeping on the plane. And I'm like, that. Then the mask actually helped because there I was were, like, well, you
there
know,
were tons. There
was, that was an advantage.
There were a lot of advantages because I was in a grocery store one time and I was having some intestinal discomfort and I thought, we all have masks on. I'm just letting it rip. I'm going to be the first one to say, okay, now that we have masks on, but I'm in for public display of whatever you want to call it.
But it also proved that the masks weren't impervious, you know, to smell or coronavirus, because I'm sure people were still picking it up. Let's take our first break. So every day we see what some conservatives are calling the parallel economy get bigger and bigger. Basically, it's everyday Americans who are a little bit tired of sort of the woke approach by many corporations. And so they're looking for companies that more align with their point of view, which is not a bad thing. We know the big mobile companies are certainly fitting into this category. So that's why one of our sponsors, Patriot Mobile, declares itself as America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They offer dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the best possible service in your area without the woke politics, which we like. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending a message that you support free speech, religious liberty, sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and especially our military, our veterans, and our first responders. So they do right by those guys, and it's a great company. They have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team, which makes switching easy. You can keep your phone, and you can keep your number. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Phil, or you can call them at 878-PATRIOT. You get free activation today with the offer code Phil. Ask about their coverage guarantee while you're there. Get the same dependable service and take a stand for your values. Make the switch today, patriotmobile.com/Phil, or you can call them at 878-PATRIOT. Anyway, so welcome, Unashamed Corey.
Well, this went off the rails.
Now, but so here's what I thought, Corey. I've said this before, so I'm glad you're on here now. So you and Willie were the first in the family into the foray of podcasting. Y'all had one back when the show was on. Now, I want to think it was on Fox.
Willie did one with Fox. Yeah he
and,
did.
But you were kind of co-hosted.
I was on it sometimes,
right,
yeah. Uh-huh.
Right. Yeah. And so, but you guys actually taught me when we first started talking about doing this, the importance of where you're going to go. Because Willie was just like, oh, yeah, we'll just throw that thing together. And, Willie told me recently, we were talking about this, because I was telling him, I said, Willie, I learned from you that unless you had a plan for content, you weren't going to be on for long. Because at first it was like, oh, we got plenty of stories. We'll just tell stories and have guests. But then, like, after a while, Willie said, I just started to dread whatever day or Tuesday.
Yes.
It was like, it was looming on the horizon, like something I just dreaded doing, you know, because after a while, it's like, what are we going to talk about? And so it taught me when I observed that, because we were on your podcast a couple of times, or his podcast, that you have to have like a deep well of content. To be able to pull this off over a long period of time.
Yeah.
He was just doing one a week.
Yeah.
But we're doing four a week. I was like, what are we going to do? And so that's what led us to doing the word, because we were like, that's the
centerpiece is still the gospel.
It is. Good. No doubt. So I learned that from Willie and from you. So I just wanted to.
And you notice he hasn't done one since. So
no, he
hasn't
not.
Jumped in again.
He has not.
He's been reluctant to jump in again. Although he is talking about it. No, he is. He has been talking about it lately.
Oh, and he can definitely do it, because last time he was only talked about his book. So I want you to talk about. We're going to talk about the movie at some point, because you and Zach are doing some really cool stuff with that. But I wanted you to talk about Sadie's podcast, and I know you've been guest hosting. So how has that been? Speaking of podcasts, because she was the first award-winning podcast last year. I don't know that we ever said that the award we won this year, she won the year before on the K-Love Awards, which was fantastic. So
congrats,
now we've had a back-to-back Robertson.
Yeah, back-to-back.
Yeah, and so when I was on the Duck Call Room last week, Martin says, well, I mean, it's been two in a row. What do you think our chances are? And I said, well, it's kind of like the guy said on Dumb and Dumber, you know, one in a million. So you're telling me there's a chance there is a Robertson on this podcast.
Can we do it three times in a row?
What do you think, Zach? Does the Duck Call Room stand a chance of Impact Podcast? And 24?
You know what? That's a good question to put to the unashamed audience. Can the duck call room rise to the level of yes. Whoa, That's Good with Sadie and Unashamed with us guys? So, yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I'd do it for them, but I don't, you know, they'd let the people speak.
Well, I would too. So I was on there and they asked that question. So Corey, tell us about what that's like and a little bit because Sadie's podcast, what's her format? Does she do?
Yes. Well, first of all, Sadie is why I'm guest hosting. Is Sadie's home with a new baby?
That's
so
what
we
I want
to tell
talk
the unashamed
about.
Yeah. Unashamed. What do y'all call it? Unashamed Nation. Unashamed Nation about that. Yeah. Sadie's home with her new baby. She Honey is two, and now she has a little Haven. Is
it going to be an H theme?
Well, she didn't mean to be an H theme, but it just kind of happened, and now here we go. And there's some crazy stories around the name, too.
And she's about just a couple of weeks old, right?
Yeah.
Because she was on our she was born on our vacation.
I went last night over there as soon as I got home and just held a little baby. She's so sweet. It's been great. So Sadie's home, totally maternity leave, and just taking time adjusting to being a mom of two. And Christian's awesome. They're a cute little family and very sweet little family, great team. So I am guest hosting her podcast this summer, and I'm doing 8 of them, and it's been really fun. Yeah, it's been I haven't hosted my own podcast before, so this has been fun to do, a little trial run to do 8 of them this summer while she takes some time off. And her podcast is like, she starts – actually, it was named Whoa, That's Good because of something that I did. One time Sadie and I were doing an interview together. We were like on a stage. And you know how you have those mics that are like attached to you?
Yeah.
So you kind of forget that everything you say is being picked up. You know, it's not like the microphone you put to your face is attached. And so we're doing this like Q&A in front of a large crowd in a big stadium. And they asked Sadie a question and she answered it and she kind of blew me away with her answer. You know how when your kids like say something that you're just like, whoa, that was good. And I said verbally, I thought, whoa, that's good. But I said verbally, whoa, that's good, into my microphone. And like the crowd kind of like awkwardly laughed because it was obvious that I didn't really mean to say that out loud.
Yeah.
And the crowd kind of laughed. And so that was where we thought about, you know, we were talking about what to
title
her podcast.
I have always wondered where that came from.
That's where it came from. And so
crazy.
The idea behind it is that, you know, she gets good advice from so many people and so many people speak into her life. And that's been a great blessing from like our show. We've met amazing people who just get to speak into her life and give her great advice. And she was like, what if I made a podcast to where I could just bring people on that I know and love and that have spoken into my life in some way and they could give good advice to the listeners? So the first question is, what is the best piece of advice you've ever been given? So we all need to go on Sadie's podcast and give your best piece of advice. So it starts off with just a good piece of advice, and then it just kind of goes into whatever, you know, whatever God puts on the heart and flows from that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, Sadie is, I've said before that what makes her so special is that there was obviously some sort of special anointing on her from a young age. There's a video of her standing on the coffee table. I mean, just getting after it.
Yes.
You know, how old was she in that video?
She was 5 in that video. Yeah.
She's got her little lisp, you know, but it's so cute. But then it's like,
she was sharing the word.
She was sharing the word of God and the gospel. And I mean, she laid the
and
whole
her theology
thing.
Was actually pretty good at Very 5. Accurate. It was impressive.
Yeah, I noticed that.
It was impressive.
So you through the years at different parts of her life, you guys have played that. And it's very inspiring to us because we've had the opportunity to watch her grow up. But then what I always like is that she was obviously very popular on the Little Duck Show, but then she was the first one of us to sort of take everything into then another genre when she was on Dancing with the Stars. And to me, it just brought even more to light. I mean, the things they talked about her, you know, about she was able to talk about modesty and family and all these great themes on the show. So it was like God was using her to then just like go to that next level. And now what I love about it is she's now has her own family. And so these same people that were, I'm assuming probably her peers and less, you know, younger, now she's bringing them into that world to show them what a godly wife looks like, what a godly mom looks like. And so to watch somebody just go through those processes and steps is a really cool thing. I mean, so I think about her audience having a chance to do that with her and do it because she's so God-centered. It's such a gift, you know?
It has been really neat to see how people who follow her, like initially, she said this recently to me. She said, initially people would come up and be like, like, oh, I knew you from Dick Dynasty. And then it was Dancing with the Stars. It's like, oh, I knew you from Dancing with the Stars. But now it's really her podcast and the impact that she is making through her podcast. That's been really cool. Yep. Well, Willie tells about how he used to be, you know, growing up, he was always Phil's son. I don't know if he's ever told you this, Phil. But he said growing up, he was always known as like Phil's son. Oh, one of Phil's boys. And he said, and just when he thought, okay, I finally made a name for myself, I'm going to be, you know, my own person. Now he's Sadie's dad.
That's funny. That's true, though.
That's true.
But it's
true.
A really good compliment.
It's a great compliment. There's nothing better to hear people talk about your kids. It's a great compliment. And yeah, Sadie's just doing awesome things with that. And it's awesome. Our kids are all adults now. And just to see what God's done in their life and the ways, the little things that he put in them when they were little kids. And what
it seemed like
now.
It was about this long.
It was that fast. It was.
I know. Well, that's strange you bring that up because Missy was on the last podcast and we had these 40 camp counselors and all. They did worship night at our house, and so Missy and I were both blown away because Mia does worship nights over there all the time, but it's usually four or five or six people, and the 40 is what was so incredible. Awesome. But I told Missy and Mia, after it was over, I was like, man, that was incredible. And I said, you know what's weird is that there were 40 people in my house and I didn't take one picture. Because usually when that many people, even if it's teenagers and they're there, I mean, they're like,
they want to get big. Yeah.
Mia was like, well, they came here because you're my dad. It was like, it was the same phraseology. Right, yeah. It was like, I was like, good point.
Yeah.
But I said, I was just pointing it out that it was awesome. It was a spiritual thing, you know?
I like that. Let's take another break. So one of our sponsors is a company called Jace Medical. And we kind of had a good time with that since we have a Jace.
It's not me.
It's not our Jace, just to let you know out there. Jace doesn't have a secret medical degree that we don't know about. Do you, Jace? I mean,
well, we found out that Jace is like, the meaning is healer.
Yes.
So I think that's where the...
Old English, the doctor who started this said, is the old English word Jace means healer. He also has a dog he loves named Jace. So that kind of factored in, and it's an acronym as well. It's a great company. What they do is they help folks that, you know, may have trouble getting to a pharmacy or getting to a doctor to be able to get your prescription. So they're going to offer a 12-month emergency supply of your current daily prescription medication. They call it Jace Daily, and it's a wide array. It's cholesterol, diabetes, family planning, mental health, heart health, blood pressure. And it's very difficult to get that much medicine. So these guys, it's doctor created and doctor recommended. So check them out. You go online, you fill out a form. You may have to give them a call. Then you get your Jace Daily prescription delivered right to your door. Get that peace of mind, whether there's a storm, a shortage, a pandemic, a supply chain issue, you've got a year's worth of your prescription. So go to jacemedical.com, enter the code unashamed at checkout for a discount on your order. That's Unashamed at Jace, J-A-S-E, medical.com. Yeah, and we talked about it, Corey, with that segment with Missy. I was explaining to the audience, I think in our overtime, about Camp Chioka and the impact it's had. And I said that was your family and your grandfather that started it now almost 60 years ago. Or over 60.
No, over 60,
over,
yeah.
It's almost
70. It's almost 70, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which think about that. Anything that's around amazing. 70 years.
Yeah.
And yet generationally how it's still blessing people, you know. And now John Luke went to school to be able to do that and is a part of that. And your mom is still a part of it.
I was actually out there this morning helping with the crafts I came here.
That takes you back to the old days, right?
So fun. And now Bella's helping with the crafts. So to see that generational and it's been, it's really special.
So I'll mention it again since we have Corey on this. CampChioka.com is where you want to go. If you want to check that out, if you've never tried the Christian camping, there's also a sportsman's camp that's there. I'm not sure where they are this year in terms of that, but any future summer, it's a great opportunity for your kids to be around really godly, great young people to just get closer to God. And we mentioned how it just isolates from the world for just a week, you know, and just what
no cell phones, no TV, no entertainment, just really actually time with
And you
people.
Met Willie at camp.
Jesus, I did.
You know, which is kind of part of y'all's story, which is pretty amazing.
What do you do with the cell phones?
You put them in a box.
Put them in a box.
Get them after
turn
it's
them
over.
In. They have to turn them in.
I just won.
My parents met at Camp Chioka, so that's I wouldn't be here.
Oh, yours too, is that?
That's where Willie and I met. Wow.
I didn't know that. Chioka.
Yeah. Awesome.
What were you going to say about me out there?
So do you remember the year that y'all were there? Like, I was like fourth grade, Willie's fifth grade.
It was like our first year
there. First year there. Yeah.
I loved it.
Yes.
Absolutely.
That's when Willie asked me on the Moonlight Hike, and I said yes, and
here we are.
Ever since.
Here we are. Willie likes to say we got married the next year, but it wasn't quite that early.
I remember doing some top five, like, memories as kids, and one of them I put was my experiences at camp because they were clarity with the Lord. And
this would have been mid-80s or so, I guess, because y'all were still early 80s.
Early 80s.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it was really interesting because Corey and Missy and Willie and Jace were all in the same youth group at Whites Ferry Road and later after the camp and then, you know, when we came back to WFR. And so it was all these relationships budded as a result. And, of course, there were others, and I don't know. Was there ever you two never dated, did you? I mean, or liked each other?
We'll never tell.
I do remember.
I didn't want to bring up anything awkward. I just thought
this just
I remembered.
Got awkward.
I thought I remembered something.
It was turbulent time. I do remember this.
I really did date all my friends too. So
I was, you know, being with that group because we came from the little country church. Mm-hmm. Where I thought that I was going to have to marry the one person. There was one girl when we were meeting out in the woods here who was like 2 or 3 years younger than me.
Are you saying the pickings were slim?
I had one option.
You were going to have to marry.
And so we all fought, Willie and I.
One way out.
Yeah, over this.
You're going to have to fight for it.
One girl. And nobody was really that attractive.
We're here when we run out of women.
There was no attraction, but Willie and I fought because it was like, it's the only option. But I do remember that. So when we got up to White's Ferry, and you know, here's all these. Now it was like 100. And it really helped my faith because I didn't feel so alone. And I thought, we have multiple options.
Yeah. And that's so, a faith builder.
The adrenaline from that.
There are more.
I remember, I don't know if you remember this, Corey, but one night we were at y'all's house, and I just, Kellett, he was the youth director, and he'd given some speech, you know, but I was just like, I thought he should have taken it deeper, you know. So I just kind of said, I want to say something. And I just gave a speech, and I was like, look, I think we should be more aggressive at our schools about our faith and sharing Jesus. And we shouldn't always be trying to shrink back, you know, and just survive. I said, I kind of want to take it to them. I was like, if anybody wants to join me, mm-hmm. I'll meet you. Y'all had a little basketball go. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's almost 100 kids in there. And there was about 8 or 10 that met out there. And you were one of those that came out there. And we talked about how to, you know, not be embarrassed that we were following Jesus. So I just remember that. It was, and look, really from that little group, we started bringing our friends to the Lord.
Yeah.
And,
our youth group, it was thriving. It was pretty
tremendous.
Special.
Really
it was. And really, when Jason really came into it.
So how long did it take to introduce this woman right here to Willie?
So
I mean, I think it just, my point is, I remember the spiritual aspects of the group, and the group got larger and larger, and
this
Willie and
beyond I, who's going to date who, Checky.
Yeah, it really wasn't. I mean, we all had our little love flings and all, but to be honest, even Missy and I, we were just kind of friends in the Lord. And it just blossomed.
Well, I noticed that both the parents of Sadie and the parents of your woman I noticed that both groups, their mom and dad said, get away from that bus.
No, that is not. That's how the story's changed. That is not how it happened.
Straighten this out, Corey.
That's how the story's changed.
So you're looking at a couple of rednecks. So what do they do for a living? Well, they don't know.
This is how the story is
going.
I think they were happy and proud. It was the timing. It was too early for
sometimes
the marriage. Sometimes
humble beginnings leads to other things.
Yeah.
I think maybe you took it as offense more than we did. I mean, now look, in the moment, I was not
really. No, I didn't.
I was not happy when Missy's dad was like, no. I mean, I wasn't happy. And I don't think Willie was very happy. I remember saying this. I think that was the first time that y'all showed up at our house kind of unannounced. Because your parents had just said, why don't y'all wait? Because you knew that we had a similar experience. And so we basically said,
when was
y'all
the breakthrough?
Walk us through it. So I was 17. So I think it was more about the fact that I was 17. And I was like, when I went to my parents to say I was getting married, I was 17 years old. I was going to not go to the college that they had gone to, that I had a scholarship to. And my whole life I was going to change.
What was their first response to that?
No,
that's not a good idea.
Hey, I don't blame them. Let me just say, if
you got
I would
a
be
daughter
the same
now,
way.
That's right.
I would.
If she came at 17, I would shut that down. I mean, I would do everything. They were more gracious than I probably would have been. So I don't blame them for it. That's young, you know.
Well, see, Missy was 17 when we did that, but I didn't mean tomorrow.
Yeah.
I just said we want to be engaged and it will be.
Well, Willie meant tomorrow.
Willie meant tomorrow.
Willie was ready.
We did.
Yeah. No.
They were like, wait a couple of years, then we'll talk about it.
Uh-huh. The good news is, if you look at it now, you say, parents and all. You have to admit, that kind of worked out pretty good.
How old were y'all when you got married?
18. I turned 18 in October, got married in January, yes. And I will say, on the way to the wedding, Willie rode with my dad, on the way to the wedding, and he said to him, you know, I said what I said. She's my first daughter, my oldest. I did what I thought was right, but I'm telling you, I'll support you no matter what. And they have.
Let's take another break. So one of our sponsors, Barrel Buddy, other than making a great product to clean your gun, which is very important, both in terms of safety as well as just responsibility as a gun owner to make sure your gun is clean, both for yourself as well as those around you when you're shooting. But what I love about these guys is they're very godly minded, very spiritual. I've kind of got an ongoing Bible study with one of the owners of this company, which, you know, I love that in the sense that we get to work together in what we're trying to do and what they're trying to do. So I want you to check out their product. It's really great to make sure that your gun barrel stays clean. They have these white polymers that are available for all sizes of shotguns and rifles and pistols to make sure that it's clean and doing what it's supposed to do. So check these guys out. It's barrelbuddy.com, B-A-R-R-E-L, buddy.com. And as they like to say, clean your gun without the grunge. So when Willie tells the story, he tells a version of this on stage with embellishments.
Yeah.
And he says his ending is, now he's one of my best employees.
Yeah.
So that's how he likes to end it, which is
think
the
about
Robertson
your Bible,
way.
Your Bible speaking daughter
came out of that
relationship. Came out of that.
That's
or
right.
You wouldn't even have had it.
That's right. Yep. And go back to the youth group days. I remember. So I will say, when Jason and Willie first came into the youth group, all the girls were like, oh, we got the new cute boys in the youth group. But more than that, it became a real, like, it was, we were just growing and everyone was
we
really spiritual on fire, and the friendships and relationships were that were really
well. And I've
really
even
special.
Thought what came out of that, Corey, because for the first few years, I mean, Lisa and I worked closely at first with Jason and Missy. You guys were at Harding and beginning your life together, and we worked with Jason and Missy, me and Jason coming out of school together, but we had house churches and discipleship. So when you guys moved back, then we started working with you guys because you both worked for the church at a different periods of time. You were our first children's minister we ever had at WFR. You had a Mother's Day Out program. You had all this stuff that you innovated for our church. Ms. Amina Willie worked with kids with college age and with youth at different times. Mm-hmm. So all of us, what we're doing now and trying to impact the world, I mean, it started by us working together here as a family with our Forever family.
Yeah. You know?
So I love that all that was birthed out of that. And even Zach, who came in first as a bit of a prodigal, but then later returned as he and Jill as, again, part of that narrative of us doing ministry together. Now we get to do all of this, which is incredible. So, I mean, I cherish the time we spent together working.
Absolutely, yeah.
And sort of establishing our family. So in that vein, I want to talk about the movie, because obviously we've been mentioning that. Some of the first time we've had you on, that, I mean, you basically, you and Willie started a company to try to produce more godly content across all the spectrum. I mean, I kind of think about you guys like the DIY people, or the ones from Waco. But, you
Chip
know,
and Joanna.
Yeah, Chip and Joanna. The idea that, you know, God built something and gave us this amazing ability, and so you've continued that. So talk a little bit about the movie, kind of what's going on with that. Zach, you can speak to this as well. And then other things you guys are doing.
Yeah.
Is this a lot of cool stuff?
Well, first, the why behind it. And I think I always tell people what I think really happened for us when we did Duck Dynasty, because we did go into it very prayerfully and wanting to make an impact for the kingdom with it, and wanting to point people to Jesus through it. I always say whenever we first did the show on Outdoor Channel, I think it was more about, oh, we could sell more duck calls. We have a TV show. It'd be great. And then whenever, you know, we got this call from Hollywood, it was like, oh, this could really make an impact for the kingdom of God. You know, how can we actually just shine a spotlight on him through this? But then as the show went on and as people came up to us and just told us the impact it had on their life, I think my eyes were even opened more to the impact of entertainment and how, like, it's shaping us one way or the other. And the way that's shaping us in the other way just became more evident to me. The things that we're consuming and what we're, you know, putting out there is for the evil one is powerful, and it's affecting us. And so we need more. We need more Christians in the space. And also, I felt like I kind of, it was revealed to me too how many Christians are scared to be in this space of, like, entertainment, because they're like, oh, that's like the dark side or whatever. And so people shy away from it, where, you know, I feel like we're called to be the light in the world. We're called to be the light in the darkness, the salt. And, you know, we have the Spirit of God in us. So we need to be going into those spaces rather than retreating from them. And so it was that, you know, after the show was over, it's like, okay, how can we do that more? And I did go around and kind of had this conversation with a lot of different production companies and things like that, and just realized, okay, the values just have to be aligned. And so set on it for a year or two after the show ended. And then Zach came to us. So Zach, you can pick up the story here as far as Tread Lively and what we decided to do with it.
Yeah, I just basically pitched kind of the same vision to them, what I was trying to do. The only problem is I had no experience doing it. And so they were like, you know, we have all these companies in LA that we've toured with that have all these great resumes, and you don't really have a resume, but for some reason we feel compelled to partner with you on it. So we started our company. Well, it kind of started out with us doing this show, but this is all that I had ever done, really, was just the stuff with Phil with Restoration Productions. And then so that's really what all I brought to the table was the experience in that. But when we started Tread Lively, we went out to Willie and Corey's farmhouse and had Jeremy Lowe come in and lead us in worship. And we just worshiped and prayed for a couple hours before we even got into the discussion about what we wanted to do. And one of the first projects, maybe the first project we talked about was The Blind and Phil and Kay's, the Robertson family origin story. So, you know, now here we are a few years later, and we've had, you know, a lot of success so far, but kind of excited about this project because it really was the catalyst for everything that we're going to hopefully do. But this story is here. It's out. It's in fact, by the time this podcast airs, you can actually purchase tickets. Early ticket sales are open. You can go to theblindmovie.com and get them. But, which we would highly encourage you, because they're out. So, and the more we sell early, the good thing about that is that if we can sell a bunch of tickets early, they're going to open up more theaters for us and more screening. So it's really pivotal. And if you guys are planning on going to the to watch this film when it opens on September 28th. I know it's a long way off, but like, go buy your tickets now, because that will, I mean, like kind of what they did with The Chosen, what Dallas said, you know, vote with your dollars. You know, when you purchase a ticket now, it really, 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 really matters for the success of this film. So I can't urge our audience enough to go, please go purchase a ticket today. TheBlindMovie.com, they'll have a link there where you can get them.
So let's take our last break. Yeah, and you know, some people are calling it a parallel economy. The idea, which is not exactly true, but the idea is that we want to try to support things that are sort of counterculture, and that's what this is. I mean, these are entertaining films, and this is, and we've talked about the film. I mean, it's a gritty look and a real life look, you know, at mom and dad's life that then was our life, but then what God has done since is what we all know. And so you want that to be high quality, which it is. And so I thought Dallas made a great comment at the K-Love Awards that, you know, every project that was in film and television that they won, Chosen won, but he said every one of these are high quality projects.
Yeah.
And he said, and praise the Lord, that there are so many multiple things out there that are not only giving honor to God and helping people see the way and the light, but that they're done well.
Yeah.
And so I think that's important. You know?
Yeah. And this film is a powerful presentation of the gospel through our family story. And it's just that redemption and forgiveness and grace and all the things that is offered to everyone that just in a story form, you know, through our family story. And I love that also for us, this to be our first project, Zach's mom, Phil's sister, Aunt Jan, was so integral in this story because she believed, and Phil, she knew that God had something on his life. She saw that in him. She never gave up on him. And that's just that message that, like, don't ever give up on anybody, because God can and will do miraculous things through people's life when he comes into their life and rescues them. And that's what this movie's about. And it is important for people to show up, because, you know, we can complain all we want about, oh, there's no good entertainment out there and there's no this or whatever. But if we don't, whenever good entertainment comes and is available and we don't show up and buy the ticket, then we're not, what are we saying to the world?
That's right. Yeah. We'd rather send our money to Disney or some other place, right? And so, yeah, it's so what you guys are doing is great. You also did Willie, when he was on here, mentioned a musical that you guys did. Tell us a little bit about that, because that's still going on.
That's in Dallas right now. Yeah, we are so excited about that. This was a crazy story. I don't know what all Willie told when he was here, but a 16-year-old girl.
A young girl. Yeah. I remember that.
Yes. And she saw or heard the musical Hamilton. And which is a very popular musical. I'm sure all of you have you seen it, Phil.
Yeah,
I'm
Dad,
sure.
You probably saw it when you went to
what's it called?
Hamilton.
I'm glad you're talking about this, because the last trip I went on, people were asking me about the musical, and I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Are you sure that's legit? They're like,
you got to come see it. I cannot wait for y'all to see it.
We were all on vacation when it started, but I want to, next time in Dallas,
y'all have to come. And the cool thing is, so what we started this weekend. So after the musical, the whole story of the musical is just miraculous. And it's in this big tent that we put it in, this big tent in Dallas, Texas. And so after the musical this last weekend, we invited churches to come in and just do worship nights, prayer and worship. And I mean, it was powerful. Like, the musical happened, and the musical's incredible, excellent. And it's the story of Jesus. It's the story of Jesus. I know y'all been in Luke. I was reading Luke today, and I was like, well, this is every one of these stories is in the musical. Like, it's, you see it played out visually on the stage, and all the ways, it's the gospels on the stage. And then we've had these nights where we just said, come in, we're going to keep the tent open. If you want to come in here and pray and worship. And we had to literally, like, turn the lights on and say, unplug, be like, all right, we got to go for the night. It's midnight. You know, we just praise and worship till midnight in that tent every night this past week. And it's
awesome.
Really powerful.
That's
great.
So how do people get that if they want to?
HisStoryTheMusical.com is where you can go back and get tickets. And that's another one. We need people to show up. This is like 8 times a week, the story of Jesus, the gospel is being presented in musical form in Dallas, Texas, in a big tent. So we need people to show up and say, like, this is important to us. We want to show Jesus in whatever art form we can show him. And it's the exact same story. It's the story. It's the same story that was told you know, right here in the Word, but put in just a musical form, and it's just beautiful. And the girl who wrote it was clearly inspired by God. Her mom, I was with her mom this past weekend, and she was like, I know it's God because Anna couldn't have done that. She said she was, she's dyslexic. She couldn't read till she was nine. Wow. She literally learned four chords on the piano to write this musical. And she says, I told God, I can't do this. So if you want me to do it, you have to give me the words. And he did. And it's really incredible.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. So yeah, check that out. And I'm sure there'll be more things coming down the pike. So be looking for that. So I want to introduce this thought in our last couple of minutes, because Corey, we have an overtime segment, so we want to hold you over for a few extra minutes for those of us that follow us on overtime. But you mentioned Luke, and so we're in Luke chapter 6 is where we are. And so I want to read this text, and we'll try to work on it just a little bit in our overtime and probably the next podcast. But we're in this context where Jesus is beginning to be questioned about who he is. I mean, it didn't take long before we get into this thing, and all of a sudden you start getting the criticisms, you know, start to happen.
Well, one of the questions was when he called Levi, and then all of a sudden they had a banquet or a party, and they're like, what is he doing eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners? I thought about this earlier, mm-hmm. when you're talking about Sadie, and it's because I remember people back in the day, they're like, I mean, your niece is going to be on Dancing with the Star? I mean, but you saw that became a platform.
We can't dance. We're Christians.
All right. With the dancers. She's dancing with the dancer. And then I don't see a difference in this. He's eating with tax collectors. She's dancing with dancers. And it became something that was used for a greater good. And look,
she was a bright light.
Yeah.
You know, not that it was even that dark. Maybe to other people it was. But, I mean, she was a bright light to me because she just showed this effervescent quality mm-hmm. that God had put in her in that moment. And you're right. It was so much this
interesting because so many of the judges said things like that. They're like, you have this light about you. We don't really know what it is, but it's something.
And we all know.
Like, yeah, we know. It's the spirit in her. Right. Yeah.
I was just going to throw that in. Good. I mean, they had the fasting question, but it was... And I think that was actually a legitimate question that Jesus just used because it was hard to realize that God has become a man. And he was trying to reveal that. He's like, well, they're not fasting because they're with the bridegroom and they're looking around, which is what they should have said. Well, who's the bride?
Right.
But they were they were blown away because they had their own sect as they're referred to in verse 30 of chapter 5.
So let me read this first part of chapter 6, and then we'll talk a little bit about it, get your take on it, Corey, in overtime. So after this, what Jace just described, and Jesus' answer back was this idea about new wine in old wineskins, and the idea that he was bringing something new and different. Mm-hmm. But it was going to be hard for them to accept that. And so then there's another example. We get to chapter 6. He says, one Sabbath, verse 1, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick some heads of grain, rub them into their hands, and eat the kernels. So, you know, this is a snack, is what we're talking about, but it happened to be on the Sabbath. Some of the Pharisees asked, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? Jesus answered them, have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for priests to eat, and he also gave some to his companions. Then Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.
But we can just set up the next story, because then he tells another story of a guy having a shriveled hand, and he's healed on the Sabbath.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm bringing that up is because, I mean, when you think about what the Sabbath was intended to do, it was God's idea. It was a great thing. Mm-hmm. You work 6 days and you rest one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just good social etiquette for anybody involved. If you just keep working and working and working, nothing good is going to happen. But the reason I'm bringing up this is I think you see the undertone of what Jesus is saying is, because what was the result of the Sabbath? It's to restore. It's to replenish. So here you have a guy who can't work with that hand, and Jesus is going to heal him which should be awesome. People are like, oh, you can do that? Mm-hmm. And it was a principle that Jesus was trying to bring up, that there's a greater good involved here. It's not what you think. Because in their light, they had 39 activities that they had amended that you couldn't do on the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. And one of them was taking off kernels. And so you see religion versus what Jesus is bringing here.
And really what's behind it. So we want to talk a little bit more about that in overtime. So if you want to follow us over, we're going to hold Corey over. BlazeTV.com/unashamed is where you can get our overtime comments. So thank you again, Corey, for coming on our regular Unashamed podcast. You're always welcome.
This has been fun. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Awesome. We'll see you in overtime.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube, and be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.